For today, Lord, we just ask you that your Holy Spirit may guide us as we go to your word, that we may be able to hear it, may be able to put it to work in our lives, and may see the impact that it has on us when we believe it and we obey it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, becoming who we are. We're going to continue from where we left last week. But I want to go back, starting again from Romans chapter 2. You know, when the Holy Spirit came on manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of 1900, and like all the time when God moves, one way or another, you know, there are things that are happening there. So everything is so exciting, and there is a new revelation that comes and everything else with that. And then, you know, things become as usual. And people get stuck because the flesh take over. Not only that, but, you know, the enemy tries to put ideas and things, you know, to rob revelations and things that God has done. And so you can see throughout the time that how some of these things, although they have spread, some of the things that were revealed or understood at the beginning were kind of lost. And so they lost the impact that they had at the beginning. It shouldn't be so. It's just that people get caught up and get, you know, they continue in the flesh while they started in the spirit. We have to learn to recognize that. We have to learn to go to the word to be able to bring the balance and the new understanding that we need. You know, you can't go by somebody else's experience or what happened, you know, 100 or 50 or 20 years ago. You know, the Lord is mercy and grace is new every day. And we need to receive every day to be able to keep ourselves in the place where he wants us to be and to be able to have the relationship that he wants to have with us. You can't have a relationship once in a while and think that that relationship is going to be good. This is true down here with people, other people on earth, like your wife, your husband, your family, and it's true with the Lord. The type of things that one needs to be actually having a relationship with God, and that's what God wants from us. Okay. Now, there were some things that were clear at the beginning about the fact that, you know, when Holy Spirit comes, one of the results that is going to happen is that he's going to bring us into holiness. He's going to separate us from the world. He's bringing us things to us that makes us different and make us not at the world anymore. And, you know, if you see even today, that's just hardly is ever mentioned anywhere. So that's an indication that, you know, this is really not what I would call a popular message. But I don't go by for popularity, I go for what the word says. That's what makes a difference. That's where the power is, and that's where the victory comes from. And one of the names of the Holy Spirit is, you know, besides being the Spirit of Truth, is also the Holy Spirit. So the implication is, you know, one of the impact has to be holiness. Now, we have to see what that means, and one can be, you know, holy in a religious way that doesn't do very much, or you can be holy according to his ways. So the first part that we looked at really is the fact that his presence in us is something that we had to come to realize. We had to come to see We need revelation, really, on what it means for the Holy Spirit to be dwelling in us. Because you know, our understanding about spiritual things is sometimes superficial. And we need to get deeper into what the Word says to be able to understand anything, because it's not according to our philosophies or our ideas or our theology even, is according to what the Word of God says. And sometimes theology just kills, you know, the Word by making it illogical things that we can agree with, instead of being alive, living things that is reflected in our spirit. So what I want to really expand now is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, if you look at back, you know, there have been waves. And one generally, you know, the one of the waves that took place in the 70s, it was the fact that the revival, you know, the Holy Spirit gifts were really emphasized completely. But the other part wasn't emphasized very much, the holiness part. Okay. Now, that's, you could expect that, because this is the way we, you know, the things impress people, the things that people notice as a difference more than anything else, and people get more excited about that. The point is, the same thing was truth for the, in the gospel, you can see at the very beginning. I mean, you know, the Corinthian church was the most messed up church of them all, and it's the one that had the greatest gift in them all. That's what Paul said. So, and his reason is because you don't need any maturity to develop the gifts. The gifts are gifts. But the other side, the impact of the Holy Spirit on you requires you to grow into the relationship. And so that part there is coming only as a result of us actually maturing in the Lord. So, and to be able to do that in the proper way, you have to understand how the way it happens. So I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, that really talks quite a bit about that. And we read some of these verses before, but I want to start from where we closed last week. Verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So that's a starting point. Now here, you know, he's talking about two laws: the law of spirit of life and the law of sin and death. These are not the law of Moses. These are laws established by God, similar to the law of gravity, similar to the things. I mean, this, you know, when the law of spirit and life, when you have God's life in you, then it is going to be life in you. You're going to do the right thing. You're going to move in the right direction. When you do the wrong thing, when you disobey God, when the spirit of, you know, the spirit of sin, the sin component brings you the law of sin and death. So those things, essentially, if you sin, you shall die. If you live according to what God's principles are, you shall live. Very simple, okay? I mean, this is the, you know, made in simple terms what those two realities are, okay? And it's not just something that is, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever. It's a question of either being connected with God or not being connected with God and being disobedience, okay? So, where am I? Yeah. And this is something that if you are born again, you should be able to already to have this kind of an experience. The spirit of life should be in you, and, you know, you should have, the spirit of death should not be in you. Okay? The law of death. Now, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, this law here is another, you know, the word is the same, but it's not talking about these laws here. He's talking about the laws of Moses. Okay, this is the, you know, all the things that was communicated to Israel that they had to follow and obey. Now, you know, everything in the Old Testament is expressed in physical terms. Okay? So if he talks about God's commandment, they had to do all with things that actually physically you could see and touch. Okay. Well, by itself, that makes the whole thing very superficial, because physical things are not necessarily a representation of what happens in the spirit. You can do, and this is why, you know, the law could not. You see, the law was depending on the flesh. The flesh is looking at the physical things, when instead it was trying to represent things that were spiritual. And Jesus demonstrated that many times when, for example, said, you know, the law said, you know, if you commit adultery, but I say if you look and you think about the wrong way, you are already sinned. So you see, the physical-based law could not be producing the spiritual things, could not even explain the physical things, the spiritual thing properly, because it was only talking about an external manifestation that didn't necessarily mean what the spiritual event was taking place. Okay? So that's something that we had to, and you know, evidently Jesus had to come to establish the proper principles and explain the things again. But there were many things that were followed by, you know, in the ceremonial law and the other things that we don't follow anymore. Why? Because those were external things. What is important is what's happening inside us. So, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. According to sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So you see, this is what happened when Jesus came. Okay? The flesh, although he came in the flesh, he was starting to explain things on a spiritual dimension, a spiritual level. And that produced us to understand things in a completely different light. So, and if you see, well, that's what Jesus did. You know, he condemned sin in the flesh. If the Spirit of Christ is in us, that we are going to have the same attitude and the same position ourselves. Why? Because we are united with him. We are thinking the way he thought. We are, you know, having the same spirit that he had. All right? So, and actually one of the evidences of the Spirit of Christ being in us, that there is a desire for holiness that has to be developed and growing in us, that which is really, you know, a desire to be the way God wants us to be. This has to be, is inborn there, or should be there, if we really had that experience properly. Okay? Now, the law of Moses could not be complete or perfect because he didn't talk about the things that were really important. We're talking about only two projections of those spiritual things into the physical. Okay? So let me continue in verse 4. That the righteousness requirement of the law, which these, the righteous requirement of the law, weren't just physical, were just spiritual. The object of the law was actually to have a spiritual impact on us. Okay? Righteousness doesn't come by the physical things, come by our spiritual attitude, our spiritual position, all right? So the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So essentially, he's talking about, you know, that we could have this righteousness in us because we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Evidently, if he's saying that means we have a choice. I mean, even in the Old Testament, you know, could they, you know, put before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. So you see that it always has to do with the position that we take, the choice that we make, if we are choosing life instead of choosing death. If we're choosing obedience to God instead of choosing disobedience and sin. because it's the same thing. Okay? The whole idea of sin being something that you can tick off on a list is wrong. Because sin is a spiritual event, it's not a physical event. You sin before you do anything because you decide to disobey God. Are you following me? See, when we realize that, then, you know, the physical component becomes so secondary, and what you are looking at is inside yourself to see what your position is. And so this is what all this chapter is all about. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. So you see, what your goal is, what your vision is, what your focus is. For to be carnally minded, actually, you know, the carnally minded is really, you know, flesh, you know, the mind component is not, the word there is not mind that is in the Greek, is actually mind carnally inclined, or see, carnally directed, if you want. Or carnally purposed. You see, if you are motivated by your flesh, that's what it means. Okay? So, and this is me, and you know, depends on the physical things. Okay? And but to is so be carnally minded is death, but to spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay? Now, to be spiritually minded, you know, the only thing you have to do is to be in the Word and allow the Word to take over your life and to be obedient to the direction that comes from the Word. Because the carnal mind, I mean, as I said before, is a purpose, the inclination, is enmity against God and is not subject to the laws of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Indeed, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. You see, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, it should have an impact on you, should have an influence on the way your position and your actions and the way you look at things and the way you look at yourself and you look at others. So if that's the case, that influence will be manifested in the way you behave. Okay. Verse 9 we are reading. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, is not his. So really, the attitude, you know, the position, the things that we go after has to be the same thing that Jesus would have done. That's what it shows as an indication that the Spirit of Christ is in us. And if Christ is in you, and, you know, the evidence, what is that the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So you see, the idea is that when Christ is in us, the body is dead. That means, doesn't mean it's dead physically. It's dead, it means since there's no controlling anymore what you do. It's not ruling you anymore. But the Spirit is alive, and if he's alive, that means he's the one that actually lives through your body. So there is your Spirit living through your body that works in through you and is manifesting in your body. See, that's what it's saying. Simply the fact that there is there to be this manifestation of the Spirit in us. What kind of manifestation is going to be? Everything that Jesus acquired for us. I mean, obeying God's principles. I mean, loving God, manifesting the love of God, loving others, okay? And that summarizes all the things. But also, I mean, if he's in you, he's working there, he's bringing life, that means healing, that means deliverance, that brings the ability to overcome temptation, that means all those things there that are going to be available to you because is not you. You see, it's not your righteousness, it's not your ability, it's not your power, it's his power, it's his ability, it's his righteousness working in you. So the reality of that, when we struggle to be in obedience to God, or even to receive things from God, like, for example, healing, is because we give more importance to what happens in the physical than what happens in the spiritual. If we just start simply believing, you know, Jesus said, only believe. You believe the spiritual world, what the Word says, what God says, what He promised, and everything else, then we can appropriate that. And that has to be more real than the physical world, than our flesh itself. Okay? Evidently, until we, you know, there is a conflict there. Okay? The flesh likes to do things its own way. But we had to realize, you know, how do you do? We just had to spend time into spiritual pursuits. We had to spend time with God, spend time with the Word, spend time meditating on the Word. And the more, see, this is why meditation is such an important component, because this is the part that we, through meditation, we go into the Word, and we, in a way, separate ourselves from the physical senses. And so the more time we spend there, the more the reality of that dimension becomes true to us, because the Word becomes our experience in which we live. That's what enables us to overcome our senses. Okay. So the body is dead, and the spirit of life because of righteousness. You see, then there should be, you see, evidently, one of the things that should be manifested is righteousness. It's not just a question of theological position with God. Okay? You can go and say, you know, well, you know, Jesus died for me, and theologically, I'm righteous. Well, I don't care what you say. I look at you, and I can tell you how much righteous you are. All right? Because there is, you see, what we say doesn't really count. What it is, the reality that is there is going to be manifested in us. You know? And then it's the same thing about healing. Okay, I mean, the Word of God says, by His stripes you are healed. If that's a reality, then it has to be manifested sometime. And if we are not manifested, we have to get to the place in which we come in contact with the spirit of life that works through us and in us and empowers our mortal body. And this is just what Scripture comes after. Okay? That's what it's saying here. But if the spirit of Him who raised Christ from the Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life, that means make live or heal or whatever it is, to your mortal bodies. You know, he's talking about, this is not, mortal body is not the flesh. Okay, there are two different words in Greek. Flesh is sarx, and the body is soma. So here talking about soma. That means, you know, not the flesh that is the tendency to sin and to do other things. It's actually the physical body that we have. And he's going to see, he's saying that it's the same way as raised Jesus' body from the dead, he's going to raise us from death, that, you know, maybe just sin, you know, sickness is part of death. You just bring it to the extreme and you die. Okay? So if you can deal with death the way he deal with death with Jesus, he can deal with sickness, which is a little death. Or a death in a reduced condition. So here he's saying to us that actually he will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. So, you know, when you realize that you have to come into the realization that the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside you. And that has to be more real than the sickness that you are fighting. And when that becomes so real that you believe more in that than in the other, there is no way that you can keep you there. See, that's the final result. And you see, the final result is when, you know, death is not going to be abolished completely. But temporarily, we can receive healing if we are attacked by physical diseases. Now, really, that's not the best for God. Okay? For God, the best that provided for us, if the Spirit is living in us, is for us to live in divine health. I mean, not to get sick. But if we get sick, because we are human and we have, sometimes let the thing come in, one way or another, because we are not really connected completely with the Spirit of God, then we can get healed. And we can see that happening, and that's Jesus' desire anyway. Jesus' desire was manifested in his ministry, and he went around healing everybody that he could. There was never one person that he refused to heal. And I think this is the way we should see it ourselves, that we can, if we do his ministry, I mean, he's passed his ministry to us, is for us to bring healing to anybody we can. Now, so walking in the Spirit is really the secret for us to have, is the result, number one, of the fact that the Spirit is in us. Otherwise, we cannot walk in the Spirit. But also, walking in the Spirit, when we are walking in the Spirit, there is this transference of the power of God from our spirit to our body, which we should experience what says in Romans 8:11, that will quicken or will give life or will make well our physical body. Okay? So, to start with, walking in the Spirit from a practical point of view means that we walk according to the Word of God. Because His words, they are life, they are Spirit, and they are life. So you see, by itself, you see the parallel there. As soon as you start walking by the Word, and not by the physical reaction, or by what people say or whatever, then you're walking in the Spirit. Okay. This is not too difficult or complicated because of the way God made, what God did when we were born again. When we were born again, He put a new spirit inside us and give us a new heart, a heart that is going to follow God, that want to follow God. And this is that desire that is there. It's the indication and the manifestation that as much as we yield to that, is going to produce changes. And, everybody experience is not necessarily instantaneous things because our mind needs to be renewed. And so as we accept this spirit that is inside us, that guides us into follow the Word, then and we allow the Word to take over in our life, then we see the manifestation of the freedom and the righteousness and the holiness is manifested more and more in our physical body, in our behavior. So this is really the evidence of walking in the Spirit. It's not just a theological position that we have. We are in right standing with God because we do the right things that will make us right stand with God. And it's not that we are trying to do it just to be pleasing somebody. It's because that's what we want. This is our desire. This is our motivation. That's what makes us tick. Okay? Now, one of the things that Paul was accused was that because of what he said, and that we walk by faith and not by, not by the law and so on, he was accused all the time that he was encouraging sin. And that's not the case at all. He's just trying to overcome the religious ideas that the religion is going to produce your salvation. Okay. And if you go, for example, in Romans chapter 6, he's talking about that. Verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Grace doesn't mean that God just gives things to people just like that because one day wakes up and says, oh, I like to give some grace to this person and some other grace to the other person. Oh, not that, I don't like his face, or whatever. That's not what is meant at all. You know, grace is received by faith. So what you have to start is to believe in God, and then you are going to be manifesting grace. God is going to pour grace on you because you are believing him. Okay? So, certainly not, says, you know, so shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in any longer? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So you see, this is a baptism into Christ means that we are completely immersed into him. It's not just the physical thing. The physical thing, you see, we can look at the physical thing and say that, you know, you have to, you know, if I dunk you in water, doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be experiencing these things. But if you understand what that means and you apply it to yourself and you start working in that dimension, you know, then yes, it's going to produce that result. Okay. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death. I mean, physically weren't, were we? But we were in our spirit. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even we should also walk in newness of life. You see, that's the result. See, that's why baptism is so important. When we do it with understanding, and then we stand on that position that we took, there should be a manifestation of a newness of life, a new life in us that is not anymore the old life that was there. And to the degree that we have that understanding, that's going to be manifest. And lots of people, you know, they get baptized and they have a good time when they do it, but nothing, not, some change is not evident there after. And the reason is that they did, you know, they just go to a ceremony. It's not the ceremony itself. It's the ceremony is what I call, you know, all the physical thing, you know, is acted out meditation. You are going through something spiritually that is reflected on the physical event that takes place to help you to appropriate what was done by Jesus and by identify yourself with him. So, but here he's saying that, you know, we should experience the same spirit, the same power. He's talking about the glory of the Father that raised Jesus from the dead should give us this new life inside us. And this new life that is inside us is more than just, you know, I'm a born-again believer. It's the fact that there is new life and is manifested in all the dimensions of our life, including healing, including the physical, including walking the way we should walk, including overcoming temptation, including, you know, many of the things that the world works in. Okay? Healing is one of the dimensions in which we should start experiencing. I mean, healing is the children's bread. Okay? That says, bread is something you take every day. So we walk in healing every day. Amen? And we, you know, to the degree that we can really open up ourselves and allow the power of God, because the power of God is inside you. God is inside you. He dwells, he comes to dwell in us. If he dwells in us, that means he's inside there. He's not inside there so that you can say he's inside there. Who cares? He's inside there to do something, to empower you to overcome, to empower you to live the way you should live, to empower you to overcome the attacks of the enemy, to set you free from sin and set him free from the influence of the enemy. And you can walk in that. We should walk in that. And the only way that we can walk in that is when we believe more what the Word says than believe what our eyes feel or the way we even feel physically. It works. When you start applying, it works. Hallelujah. Newness of life. I mean, we should go around, you know, realizing that we have newness of life. I mean, with the, by the glory of the Father. I mean, not just, you know, we are not trying to work it up. You see, the glory of the Father is in us. And has given us newness of life. It's not a whole life anymore. It's a new life. Praise God. I mean, that should make us dance around. No kidding, because, you know, realizing that, anyway, yeah. Okay, let me, verse 5. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death, we certainly shall, certainly. Can you say certainly? Certainly. Oh, what does it mean? That there is some question or some doubts about it? Certainly. Hallelujah. We also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I mean, doesn't mean, you know, he's not saying the resurrection is going to happen sometime in the future. Here he's talking about now. The newness of life that you have is right now. The resurrection that from the dead is right now from our point of view, because we were dead before and now we are alive. We are alive in God. It could alive give us a newness of life. So there has to be, you know, it's not just a question of being inside us and we can talk about theologically, is that the, you know, is life manifested in us? It changes everything. Praise the Lord. Okay. Knowing this, now there are a couple of things that he's stressing on now. Knowing this, this is the first one. That our old man, the one of the flesh, was crucified with him. That this body of sin may not be done, be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. I mean, that we are not... See, actually, you know, even people that are not born again, they have free will. Unless they really open up to the devil and, you know, is kind of demon-possessed. But generally, they have, you know, free will to choose what they do. And they can do the right thing even without being born again. But, you know, they're still the influence. You know, they don't have the Spirit of God inside them. And because they don't have the Spirit of God, you know, they had to do it on their own decision, their own volition. For us, it's different. We have the Spirit of God. We have been set here from the influences of sin. And we, our free will is much freer than the other. Okay, we can choose, we should be able to choose without any problem. Actually, our normal tendency would be to do the right thing instead of the wrong thing. Okay, why? Because the Spirit of God is inside us, guiding us and directing us to do the right thing because that's our new nature. Okay, it's not a big deal for us to do the right thing. I got one, amen. Praise the Lord. So, was crucified. The no longer slave to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So the first thing is the death with Christ that we have frees us from sin. That's the first thing that he's telling us. The second thing, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So he's alive again, and we become alive again. Okay? Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. And death with sin is to go together. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, that the life that he lives to God. So his resurrection life, the life in God. Likewise, that means, you know, the same way, or applies, you see, the same principle that applies to him applies to us. You also reckon yourself, consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you have to see, the thing is, you have to reckon yourself. That means you have to apply the same principle to yourself. You have to believe the same thing for yourself. So if the life is in him, the life is in me. Why? Because I accepted what he has done, and I, you know, identify myself with him, and that's what counts. You see, I open up my spirit to his spirit. His spirit is in me. We are one spirit now. Amen. One spirit. That means, you know, what motivates us, what gives us life, what gives us anything that, you know, we desire, want, and everything. You know, the things that we desire should be the desire, the thing, the desires of God. Unless we allow the enemy to influence us. And it's by our choices. The things that we do, the world that is around us, influences us. You know? And that's what the big difference is. What is around us. What we allow to be around us. What we, you know, someone, you know, who does not walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. You see, there is a walking with, sitting with them, staying with them that produces the influence. Because there is an osmotic effect on us. You are in something and you become chameleon. You know, just take the same color of the environment. It's a natural thing to be. We need to realize that we had to protect ourselves. Protect ourselves with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Correct your heart. All right. So let me continue here. Likewise. So I know you're applying this thing to yourself. You're applying what Jesus did to yourself. You see it yourself the same way. He is dead, I'm dead to the world. He is alive, I'm alive to God. And I have a newness of life. And the newness of life is his life. It's not my life. You know, Christ, he knew the hope of glory. We can start experiencing some of that right now. We should start experiencing that right now. Therefore, do not let. You see, this is a part we play. It's not doesn't come automatically. It has to be your decision, has to be actually your choice. Do not let sin reign on your mortal body that you obey it in its lusts. But do present yourself, your members, as instrument of righteousness. Do not present yourself, your members, as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. You see, that's what you do. You just actually, what does it mean, present yourself? You give yourself, you apply, you allow that to become a reality to you. So this is, it's going to, you know, as soon as we do something like that, has an enormous impact. See, that is the change that takes place, the newness of life that is going to be manifested in us. So how do you do that? Well, by believing. By believing what he has done is working for you. You see, it's by, what does it mean, believing? The word believe, pistis, means faith. So you see, by believing or by faith, you start walking in this newness of life. If that means, you know, faith doesn't go by the things you see. Doesn't think by the physical world. It goes by what the word says. So you go by the word, you see the word, you apply the word to yourself, and you start believing it instead of saying, well, you know, maybe I'm a mess. No, I have a newness of life. You reject the old you that was there. You see, put away the old man and put in the new man. See, that one makes all the difference. That one gives you victory. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh. This time is running out. Actually ran out some time ago, 5 minutes ago. Well, we talk about faith next week. See, the Hebrew chapter 11 talks about the Old Testament era of faith. Okay, it's interesting. You know, I heard people preaching this and say, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, they did not understand faith, because faith is mentioned only 2 times in the Old Testament. And didn't sound right with me. I mean, all these people in Hebrew chapter 11 did all these things by faith, through faith. So don't tell me that they didn't understand faith. They probably understood it better than we do, because our problem is that we have created a theology in which we have created a word that actually applies in a certain way that really is talking about believing. You know, any time that the Old Testament talks about trusting God, believing God, obeying God, being faithful, is really talking about faith. So that statement is completely wrong. I mean, I heard them so many times, and they're all wrong, because they go by a word instead of going by a concept. You see, we get so stuck into the physical. Okay? That's why sometimes I try to avoid the word faith, because it's being so confused by theologians that they really people don't understand anymore what it means. When instead, you have it, I have it, everybody has it, even non-believers have it. Because if you don't have faith, you cannot get saved. And that's before you are saved. The Old Testament, they weren't born again, and they did all these things, bigger things than we do today sometimes, by faith, through faith. So we are going to talk about that and see how the faith is really applied to our walk, and how faith produces the newness of life. And how sin is really unbelief. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, they give us everything that we need for life and godliness. The Lord enables us to walk in ways that are beyond what human being can do, because we are more than just mere humans. We are just children of God. And as children of God, Lord, we can manifest, Lord, your power, your anointing, your abilities, and your strength. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for Jesus making us, to us, available. Lord, all those blessings that we do not deserve, but we can have because of what he did. And we just praise you and thank you for that, and acknowledge that in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen? God bless you.